So yes, as mentioned, my name is Christian, and I am the 2018, one of the 2018 summer interns. And many of you guys may recognize me. I'm usually out in the hall telling you guys to sign up for like River Club and VBS, or I'm sometimes behind there playing keys, or sometimes I'm up here and I'm half the height of Timothy. So that's me. So a bit more about myself. So I am from Brockville. I'm from here. I've been here for the last 18 years, and I'm currently going into second year at Queen's University in Kingston, which is super sweet. So growing up, I had grown up in the church, going to church every Sunday, and actually emerge youth with the pier every Thursday. But I wouldn't say that I truly became a Christian until just this last year. I always had kind of lived that surface level faith and never really realized, because I had just become so accustomed to it, I didn't realize that there was more. But in this past year during November, God really opened up my eyes, and I was able to just see how much he loves us and his grace and understanding his plan for me. So people had asked, you know, how did you come to Christ after 17 years of being in a church? So I haven't really told anyone this story, but here's the kind of rundown. I'll abridge it. September, I get to school. I'm moving in with my best friend at the time. It was sweet, and it was weird because all throughout high school, most of my close friends were all Christian. And I get there, and I'm like, no one here is Christian. I haven't heard the word Jesus unless it's in a cuss word, and I don't see anything as far as ministries. But during Frosh Week, I end up meeting this girl named Michaela, and it turns out she's Christian, and she's like, hey, we have this program called Geneva House on campus, and we're having a barbecue. You should totally come. So after class, I head over there, and I actually meet someone who many of you may actually know. His name is Steve Cooey. He's actually from Brockville. So we end up bonding over our love and hatred for this town and our passion for Jesus. No, but we end up getting smoothies, we get talking, and I start going to his Bible study, which is sweet. And I was really encouraged to start reading the Bible on my own and start listening to Jesus and seeing how I could follow after him, which was cool because it was really the first time that I had taken faith personally to something that I wanted to do, and it wasn't something that was of my family or of my friends. So I started reading my Bible and really hearing and knowing that there was something deeper than just a surface level faith. So it's now a couple months into school. I'd say that my faith had increased exponentially, and I wasn't quite sure still where I was at. But November 17th, it's a Friday night, and I'm involved now with this group called P2C, or Power to Change, which was formerly Campus Crusade. Some of you guys might know of that, but we have this group called Connect, which is basically a young adults group that they'd put on, which was student-run for students, and it was a great opportunity to connect people to a fellowship of Christian believers. So afterwards, we go to the social, and I end up hanging out there and feeling like kind of weird because I thought I was the only first year there, but I end up meeting five other people, and they're all in first year, and it was really sweet because they all had this passion for Jesus that you could just kind of tell in the way that they talk to you, in this way that they'd want to love on you. And also, they're all girls, but that's beside the point. That's not the night that he accepted Jesus. It was actually two nights later. It's on a Sunday night at this thing called Praise and Power, which is, again, a fully youth-run thing, which is a full worship evening. It's awesome. So my parents are down, we go get dinner, we show up 5 to 10 minutes late, which is basically on early on my timeline, so that's sweet. We walk in, kind of just see the first open seat and dive in. And for that next hour and a half, something just resonated. It wasn't just a feeling of, hey, the music's good, or wow, they're saying cool things, but something in my heart was feeling it. And I didn't cry, I wept. To the point where my shirt was completely soaked in sweat and tears and maybe mucus. But I end up walking out of the back of the sanctuary trying to find any tissue box that I can. I'm crying, and I just felt something speaking to me saying, I want your heart fully. So that evening I fully committed to following after Jesus and giving my life, and it was amazing. After that I came out and I was telling my parents what had happened, how I felt just the spirit moving in me, and they got excited. And then these five friends that I just met, they were like, hey, are you all right? Because my eyes were probably red. My shirt was soaked, and I was like, yep. I just got hit by the spirit. It was crazy. Like, I don't even know, I was crying, and they're like, yeah, we know, we're right behind you. And I was like, yes, Jesus, thank you, help me through this, because I just lost five friends. But we turned out, the rest of the year goes really great. My faith had just grown exponentially to the point where I understood that this was my choice and my kind of calling to be with Jesus. And then 4 months later, we're here, it's August, and I have this opportunity to preach, which is really amazing thing that God had just spoken to me and had this promise. So diving right in, so we just came out of our Movement 2 series where we learned about a lot of the practical and just really applicable ways that we could be following Jesus in our day-to-day lives. And we went over a lot of super practical ways that we could follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and I personally found it not only practical but convicting. And I want this to kind of continue on that path of ways that we can implement into our day-to-day lives. So to be completely transparent, I was wondering what this message was going to be on. And at the time, I was devoing and studying the book of John. And I came across this passage, and it had just spoke to me. Something in its simplicity and boldness just had something beneath it. And I'm super excited because I'm sure that God's going to speak it to you too as well. So before we get in, I'm just going to pray real quick one more time. Jesus, I just thank you so much for bringing us all here and laying this word down. I pray that, again, it's not me speaking, God. It's not me speaking something that I wrote, but allow me to just be a vessel for you, God, for you to move through this and to be able to speak and resonate this morning. Amen. So we're going to be reading from John 8, starting at verse 31. We're going to have the passage on the screen behind. And as a quick reference, this is just before, or just after, rather, when the woman who was caught in adultery, remember, she was going to be stoned. You might remember when Jesus said, let the first without sin be the one to throw the first stone, and then like the entire crowd dissipated. So we're a bit further down in verse 31. So John 8, verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And again at verse 31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, these words are powerful. It defines the decision of following Jesus, and furthermore, the choice of discipleship. In the second half of the passage, Jesus discusses the pain and the problem with sin. Ultimately, Jesus communicates to us a pretty simple line. If we put our hearts into sin, we become enslaved. If we put our hearts into Jesus' truth and follow him, we will become free. So do we choose to live enslaved or free? Now, you can kind of imagine yourselves in the shoes of the Jewish people at the time. Now, your ancestry lies in the line of Abraham. So in that culture, you would be seen as set apart or holy or righteous even. But then Jesus says, you know what? It still is your choice if you want to be a disciple or not. It's not something that lies in your blood. It's this choice. And the reality is many of you might be enslaved to sin. And if you put yourself in their shoes, you might say, well, Jesus, I go to church on Sunday. No, and I go to Bible study on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I read my Devo book. I listen to UCB Canada in the car when the radio is playing bad music. You know, whenever I read my Bible, I post a picture on Facebook. And of course, okay, that might be a bit of a stretch. Back in Jesus' day, they didn't have Facebook. But Jesus is really communicating something simple to us. And he's telling us the power of sin. He says, if you entertain that temptation, if you tell that lie, if you take what's not yours, you become enslaved. You're taking this pair of handcuffs and you're locking them around your wrists. But Jesus says, when we put our hearts into Jesus' truth and follow after him, we become free. Our chains fall off. These handcuffs become unlocked. Now, many of us have heard this amazing news, the amazing grace and the loving power of Jesus. But in this case, many of them added it too. In verse 31, it says that Jesus was teaching the Jews who had believed him. Jesus tells them, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. These people believed who Jesus was. They had heard his testimony, and they knew that he was the Son of God. But then he gives them two options. Do you just believe who he is and what he says? Or do you follow after what he says because of who he is? Do you choose to live enslaved or free? Now, this may seem like a simple decision with, you know, one answer being better than the other. But Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If we are following after Jesus and we are truly his disciples, we will know his truth. Our identity is grounded in his truth and our freedom. And if we're being honest, it's extremely easy to fall into these rhythms of occasional discipleship. You see, if we aren't paying attention, it could feel so natural to only just follow Jesus when we feel like we want to be free. But can you truly be free if you're just occasionally being a disciple? In verse 34, Jesus says that everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Note that he says slave to sin, not prisoner to sin, because there's a difference between a slave and a prisoner. See, when you're a prisoner, you're cast in chains and you're thrown into a cell and locked there, and you can't move, you can't leave. But the word slave in this passage actually comes from the Greek word doulos, which means a person who is the legal property of another and is forced to obey them, or it could even better be described as a servant or an attendant. Because when you're a slave, you are held in chains and thrown down, but you're made to work. Jesus is telling us that when we choose to sin, we are literally becoming handiwork for the enemy. Now, we can't live in this ugly tension of incomplete freedom. It's impossible to have someone who claims to be free only on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Sundays, because you can't live in complete freedom when you're still bound by a chain. But when we put our hearts into Jesus' truth and follow after him, then we become free. So we need to make a choice. Are we going to choose to be a doulos or a disciple, a slave or free? And sometimes it can be hard to find when we're wrapped in chains. When we start wearing chains for too long, it becomes part of our culture, our daily lives. And sometimes it could even become our life. Sometimes these chains could even become our identity. Now, I want to get real with you this morning. I have a bit of a confession to make. As many of you guys know, I'm a magician. And that's not the confession. But people even know me as Christian the Magician. But I'm not going to say that magic tricks are a sin and the root of all evil. But when people would ask me, why do you do card tricks? Why do you do magic tricks? I'd usually say, you know, it's pretty simple. Like, being able to take anyone, regardless of what they're going through. They could have the worst day or the best day, regardless of what they're going through. Taking someone and being able to put a smile on their face for them to realize and have genuine happiness for just a second, to realize that there's joy in the nature around us. I think I'd say that's the reason why I do it. And personally, I believe it's a God-given gift, like not only sleight of hand maneuvers, but even speaking in front of people. I didn't realize how important it is that I could even publicly speak in front of a stage in front of people. But the real reason why was something different. See, I had told myself that this is the reason why I do it, to make people happy, and I was convinced of that. But the real reason I had actually suppressed way deeper down inside of me, so deep that I wouldn't dig it up until 5 years later. See, the real reason why I got into performing magic was because I wanted to be accepted, and I wanted to be appreciated. See, like many other people, I wanted to impress people because I didn't feel impressive myself. See, I wanted to do magic so then people would like me, so then I could have friends. And it, as sad as it may sound, the question is, how am I enslaved in that? You see, By seeking more and more acceptance from people, I diminished the power and the glory of acceptance from God. You see, I'd forgotten that I'm chosen by God and that he loves me and there's a plan for me. And as I turned to humans to fill this void that only God could, I became upset because there was more and more that I wanted. Sometimes at that point, even, I had forgotten who I was, and I just needed to remember who God was. But sometimes when we try to control our sins by ourselves, solely with our own strength, like I did, I recognized that, and I said, you know, I'm going to not seek attention from people. I'm going to, you know, just live and try and be bold. And it was pointless, because when we try and control and grasp sin just by ourselves with our weak, flawed human condition, sin could oftentimes control us and seep up through those cracks and through those flaws. But Jesus completely understood this. When he's speaking, he tells us to abide in his truth, to dwell in his truth, to just stay and allow him to set us free. Because when we put our hearts into Jesus' truth and follow after him, we will become free. And not only do we lose our chains, but Jesus takes those chains and he turns them back into an opportunity for him to work. So I'm going to call the worship team up right now. And I don't know what these chains look like for you. Maybe you've forgotten about the opportunity, though, that God has given you to be a disciple in your workplace. Maybe you've forgotten the opportunity that God has given you to be a disciple in your family. Maybe you've forgotten the opportunity that God has given you to be a disciple in your community. Maybe you've forgotten that God calls you to live in his truth. Maybe you've forgotten that God calls you to live free. And maybe this past week could have been the most spiritually fulfilling week, or maybe this past week could have been an all-time low. And I don't know where you're at right now, but I want you to take a moment and remember who God is and who Jesus is. Is it not true that we serve the Most High God, the God who made it rain on earth for 40 days and 40 nights? The same God who took his chosen people out of slavery into freedom, not to mention that they crossed a 15-kilometer sea. The same God who died for you and for me. So here's what I want you to do. Take a moment this week, within the next 7 days. It could be 5 minutes. It could be 5 hours. And I want you to sit and reflect on yourself. I want you to ask yourself, am I truly a disciple? Am I free? Am I emotionally free, or am I a slave to my feelings? Am I spiritually free, or am I a slave to flesh? Am I monetarily free, or am I a slave to my bank account? What do I need to give God this week so I may follow in his truth and become free? Now, if you're truly serious about your journey, I want you right now, take the next moments in this atmosphere just to reflect. See, if we're only making surface-level changes, we're only going to reap surface-level results. Unless we're going to be real and realize that our current location isn't the final destination, we're not going to continue on this journey. So dig deep, and don't be afraid to question what's become routine. And as you reflect, I encourage you not to look at these chains as a burden or something that you can't unlock, but to remember that there's someone who can for you, someone who can take off those chains, someone who can set you free. If you abide in his word, you are truly his disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The slave does not stay in the house forever, but the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So Jesus, God, I just take this moment. I pray that you allow your word this morning, God, just to dwell in us, to resonate, not just on the surface in a moment that we could have for 3 minutes, God, but for you to dig deep and to put your word, God, on our hearts. Not as something, again, that just sits there, something that digs deep, that wants more change than just surface level change. God, I pray for all of us this morning and for the next days to come, for us to just be real with ourselves, for us to know that there's something more than just being bound in chains. And I pray that as soon as we find these, we'll recognize your love, God, and your freedom and your grace and your plan for us, God, and for us to remember your power and your desire for us to live freely and lightly in you. God, you tell us that you're the God of all flesh, the Lord of all. There's nothing too hard for you, God. So I pray that as we find these parts in ourselves, and as we cleanse ourselves before you, God, that you speak unto us and you take these chains and free us. I thank you for your word this morning, God, and all that you continue to do. Amen.